Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord once again today, beloved. We're on the air giving God the glory and the praise His holy name. Today we have with us our dear brother, Jason, are you there?
Hey, good evening, Dr. Hunter. Yes, I am here and present. Good evening and God bless you.
Amen, amen. Well, a day is your day, so go ahead and give God His glory.
Amen, amen. Well, first of all, I just want to, again, thank you for allowing me to come on the show. And I'm just thankful for the wonderful opportunity we have here to fellowship in God's Word this Tuesday evening. I want to say grace and peace to you and from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ for our listening orders. I just pray that as we go through that God gives us all the eyes to see and the ears to hear what He has for us. Amen, amen. I want to open up this evening in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful work. After He had provided purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven." Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, we talked a little bit about depending on the Holy Spirit in our everyday life, learning to depend on Him and the Holy Spirit. So we talked about depending on Him, you know, because of we are saved and people should see the love of Christ on us. Many reject the testimony of Jesus Christ, and so learn to depend on Him in a culture that rejects Him still to this day. Understanding the benefits of Jesus going to the Father so that we may have the Holy Spirit working daily in our lives, and also depend on the Holy Spirit in our daily relationship with the Father, with Jesus Christ, as He guides us through each and every situation, not just the big situations that sometimes that we come to Him when things are maybe a crisis, something highly important, but also the small daily decisions, whether it be what type of food we choose to eat or whether or not we decide to speak to someone about Jesus Christ or not. So just we talked about a little bit that last week, a few pointers on depending on the Holy Spirit, which we have daily in our daily life. This week, you know, when I read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, it really just gives an honor and glory to Jesus Christ. You know, for we know if you just read the Gospel of John, verse 1, it starts talking about in the beginning was the Word, and Jesus was the Word, and everything was made through Him. And so He is deserving of all honor and glory. And you just see how these few verses give honor and glory to Jesus Christ. And so today I want us to take a step beyond just reading these words. I want to take a step to talk a little bit about how we as His servants honor Him in our daily walk. You know, He's been honored in the Word because He is the Word, but how do we honor Him in our daily walk? So we, in three ways we're going to talk about honoring Him for who He is and why He was sent, honoring Him through obedience to His Word, and honoring Him through unity and allowing Him to work in our lives, unity within the rest of the body of Christ, because we're not in this thing by ourselves, but we have other brothers and sisters in Christ that make up the body of Christ. And pursuing Amen. That unity through Jesus Christ. Talk a little bit about that. So if we go to the Gospel of John, chapter 17, we're going to start there, chapter 17, verses 1 through 5. You know, we talk a little bit about, you know, who he is, as we know who he is, and why he was sent, okay? Key word, why he was sent. John chapter 17, 1 through verses 1 through 5. And it says, verse 1 says, after Jesus had said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And so we were talking a little bit earlier about honoring who he is. You know, Jesus was with the Father. He came to us to offer us a bread to be reconciled back to the Father. And through his works, he honored his Father and brought glory to himself. And you know, you notice in verse 4, it says, I have brought you glory. He's talking to his Father. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. Finishing the work you gave me to do. So, we honor Jesus Christ. We honor God by also God also gave us the works. Jesus gave us commission before he went up. And he tells us that we are to go preach the gospel to the ends of the earth and to disciple. That is the commission. That is one of the most important things that we will ever do in our life. And so all of us have an individual work that God has given us as a part of the body of Christ. That we go, and then when we obey and do the things that God asks us to do, then we're bringing glory to him. We're honoring him because we are mimicking what he's done when he came. He came to do the works of his Father, not of himself. And so he sets the example for us so that we may honor him and our Father in heaven. And so, again, you know, just remembering that we honor who he is, because he was before the world began. And we honor him by doing what he sent us, what he also created us to do, and that's to glorify God and himself. So, again, we were also created to do the works of earth to bring glory to God. That's one of the primary reasons we're here to glorify God. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21, I love what it says. It says that, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you for every good for doing his will, and may he work what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Verse 21, equip you for every good for doing his will. For doing his will. You see, we all have been, God has inserted in us talents. We all have different talents, okay? We have different things that, gifts that God has given us. But what we have to remember, especially as Christians, is that those things were never given to us to promote and glorify ourselves. They were never given for that reason. They were given to be used as a part of the body of Christ so that God may be glorified, Jesus may be glorified through us. It's for him. You know, that's what it says in verse 1, equip you for every good for doing his will, and may he work what is pleasing to him. Pleasing to him, not pleasing to us. Even though as we grow in relationship with him, what pleases him does please us. And we don't have that confidence, so we just need to remember that we honor him by doing the work that he's given us, because it does please him when we do so. And our talents and all the things he's given us have been given to us for the purposes of glorifying Jesus Christ. We're doing the will of Jesus, who has commissioned us to do his good works. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to keep on reading John chapter 17, and we're going to go on down to verses 6 through 8. Verse 6 says, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now, they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. You know, verse 6, I want to emphasize verse 6. It states that, you know, Jesus is saying that his disciples obeyed his word. Now, let's talk about what obedience is just for a short minute. You know, Jesus tells the Father that they obeyed his word, but obeying God's word does not mean being perfect. That's not what that means, because we all know from what's documented in the Gospels that there were some struggles that the disciples dealt with during their walk with our Lord and Savior. They had some struggles there, but it didn't change the fact that they still did all that Jesus commanded to do. And therefore, so a lot of times with us trying to honor Jesus with our gifts and trying to do the right thing, as I said many, many times, we're not perfect, and sometimes we get things wrong, but it doesn't mean that just because we make one misstep or we do one wrong thing that, you know, God is going to come and open up the earth and swallow and say, no, that's what the grace is for, the pursuit of following Christ. I'm not saying in the pursuit of following yourself, I'm saying in the pursuit of following Christ, that's what the blood of Jesus is for, because we're not perfect, but he is perfect, and his grace is made perfect in our weakness. And so we remember that, well, as we pursue honoring God, sometimes, you know, we're going to take missteps and get things wrong, but that's why we have a relationship with him. Amen. We as followers, you know, again, we honor him by obeying his word. You know, we accept and obey his word. You know, that's a big part, and that's how we honor him. Even through, you know, when we deal with people with controversial issues, or we deal with whether it's family issues, political issues, job-related issues, children-related issues, we always stand, even though sometimes it can get a little cloudy and gray and everybody has a different perspective or whatnot, we honor God when we say every perspective we come from comes from his body. That is our center. We always come back to the word to retrieve the perspective of God in every situation. And when we do that and we stand firm, even if we have to stand alone, in some situations, we give God much pleasure and much joy. And in return, we get much pleasure and much joy, knowing that we are doing what is pleasing the Father and joining many of our other brothers and sisters in Christ, joining in the sufferings for laboring and pushing forth the gospel and the good news.
Amen.
And so through obedience to his word, we honor him. We're going to keep going. In John chapter 17, we're going to go on down to verses 20 through 23. And it says, Jesus says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them glory that you gave me, that you may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought into complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and you have loved them as you have loved me. You know, see, this whole four verses, Jesus is really stressing the unity. The unity him and the Father, and the unity between us and him, being unified as a body of Christ, and he's talking about that. And it's great, it's just so wonderful to know that in this passage of verses in chapter 17, Jesus is not only praying for his disciples, but he was praying for us too as future believers, that through all that the apostles went through and the early church went through, that the gospel would be spread everywhere, and through their testimony, we would also believe and continue on the commission. And so we honor Jesus also through unity with the rest of the body of Christ, through the rest of the body of Christ. See, you know, one thing that you learn as you walking with the Lord is it's very difficult to be in a full relationship, in a real strong relationship with Christ and be out of fellowship with other believers. Let me say that one more time. It's very hard to be in a fruitful relationship with Christ and be out of fellowship with other believers. It's very hard. And so that's why Jesus stresses so much. You know, even when you think about Jesus, the way he even did this, when he sent the disciples out, he didn't send them out by themselves. He sent them two by two. Two by two.
Yeah.
He always sent them where there was going to be someone else that could be there with them and suffer with them, someone that can also not only encourage you, but someone that can be in a position to correct you when you might be wrong. You know, because we're not perfect and we all have different strengths and whatnot. And so, but God wants us to bring all those gifts that he's given us together for the unification of the body of Christ and Christ being the head. And again, as I said before, we have all different personalities. We have different preferences. We also have different gifts of the Holy Spirit as determined by the Holy Spirit. And we should be related in one relationship with Christ, one body with one Christ as head. You know, Apostle Paul spent a lot of time dealing with this very issue of unification, because we honor God when the body of Christ is unified. You see what's happening today because there's so much division in the body of Christ over various reasons and whatnot, and it's causing all sorts of problems and backbiting and all sorts of things. And Apostle Paul was dealing with this very same issue with the Corinthian church back during his time. And I love it the way he puts it together to explain how we have different gifts, and he uses the body to make this to help people to understand exactly what he was saying. And if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 21, and then 26 to 30, I'm just going to read it, but it's very powerful how he puts it together. And at chapter 12, he says, Just as the body through one has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So it is with Christ. So we have many parts, many different things going on, but we are part of one body, and so it is with Christ. Verse 13, for we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to be formed one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. So when we all got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, it wasn't a different Holy Spirit. You know, you didn't get you get a different Holy Spirit, or someone got a different word that's outside the Bible. No, we all got baptized with the same Spirit, even though different gifts of the Holy Spirit may have been given to us, all for the edifying and promoting of the gospel as one, as the body of Christ. So slave or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Verse 14, even so the body is not made up of one part but many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason to stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not the eye and I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason to stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Oh, amen. You see, if we all had the same gifts, because this is what happens. Let me just don't go there now. You know, we sit back sometimes and we look at other people that God has got a different place, and they up and they operate in the gifts that give it, and we say to ourselves sometimes, you know what, I wish I had that. I want to be up doing what they're doing. You know, but a lot of times what we don't realize is that, you know, they know what God leads them to. We need to be focusing on what God has called us to do, what gifts has he given us. You know, because everybody can't get up and do the lead singing. Everybody can't get up and just, there's some people I've met, you know, where when they start praying, I just feel like the sky is going to open up and the glory is going to come down. I mean, they just have a powerful anointing to pray and encourage through their prayer, you know. But that's the gift that God has given them. There's some people I have encountered that's part of body, they get up and teach, but it's a person that is just full of wisdom, that can just really see things. God shows them things in such a way where they can be able to make it plain to others so they can be edified and understand what's going on. And so there's different gifts. And that's why, you know, the word is saying here, you know, if the whole body was an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? So if everybody was just going to do the prayer, then who's going to do some other form of service? Who's going to serve on the usher board? Who's going to make the programs out? Who's going to go and actually be able to go pray and intercede for folks? Who's going to be able to get up and give a word? Who's going to be able to give up and go help folks with basic needs? Can everybody do the same thing? And we can't. We can't. And because God is a powerful God, and he made us in diversely different ways. And so that's why Paul is saying, say, if the whole body was an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? And as it is, there are many parts for one body. And his little part, you know, he further down in verses 26 through 30, he really brings it home. And he says, verse 26, he says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. So we're in this together. We're in this together. And when one part of the body is suffering, we all suffer. And when one part rejoices, we're all rejoicing because we all are supposed to be unified in Christ. And in the midst of everything that's going on, we all should have one mission, and that is the commission, the spread of the gospel. Okay, the spread of the gospel and disciples so that people can get saved and Jesus can be glorified through what we're doing. So verse 26, if one part suffers, then every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. 27. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church first all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? I think we get the point. We all have different gifts, and through our relationship with God, with Christ, he reveals those gifts to us. So that way, the gift, as I said earlier, we honor God by using the gift he's given us to serve him, to serve him. Not serve ourselves, but to serve him. And through serving him, we are blessed. We are blessed. And so, again, remember that we honor God through, by honoring who he is and why he was sent. We honor him through obedience to his word, and we honor him through seeking to have unity with the body of Christ through his word in our relationship. And we just need to remember that, because again, there's one body, and we're all part of the body, and there's only one head, and Jesus is the head. And he is worthy of all honor, but not only what he has done, but who he is. And we need to just reflect and remember what he said, what we talked about in the opening verse, in opening verses in Hebrews verse 1 and 3, where it says, verse 1 and 3, where it says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory. He is the light. He's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. And what a great God that we serve. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. Glory be to his name forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jason?
Yes, sir.
Yes. You have a powerful message that God has blessed you. You got anything you want to speak to the people tonight that you got to say to them?
You know, I just, one of the things I pray about all the time is that, you know, you have a lot of folks at this time of the year, I don't necessarily do that, but a lot of people, we'll make a lot of New Year's resolutions, and we're going to do this and that and whatnot. And the thing about New Year's resolutions a lot of times is that the reason why they fail a lot is because of who we make the commitment to. You see, when we make a commitment to ourselves, then that most certainly probably won't last. But see, when we commit to Jesus Christ, it's not just there's not just words, but in our relationship with him,
amen.
To fulfill that commitment, see, the commitment actually stands on something. It actually stands on something. And so my prayer for all of us is that we, you know, it's quite simple, that we love God more this year than we did ourselves, that we desire to want to serve him more than constantly looking at ourselves, you know. And does it get rough sometimes? Absolutely. Does it get difficult? Absolutely. But I always say that Jesus never promised us that we wasn't going to go through the day. He promised us that he will be with us. He will not leave us as orphans, and he will always be with us until the end. And he who endures to the end will have the reward to drink from the river of life. And so I would just say that we just need to keep praying, keep folks and get back into the word, get folks and get fed, so that way in this time where we have a lot of opinions, lots of politics, lots of everything, in the midst of all the cloud and the smoke, that we would know exactly what we need to be doing and what the truth is. And the truth is in the word. The truth is in the word. And we need to have that our own personal relationship with God through his word. But it starts there. You know, I tell some people at times that, you know, it's very difficult to know the will of God in your life if you don't read your Bible. I wonder how that's possible. How can you know the will of God in your life if you don't read the Bible? Because, see, to know the will of God, you must first know him. And to know him, you have to read about him. And through the reading about him, God puts that seed in you, and it grows. And as you get to know him, and then he gets to know you, then you begin to discover, he begins to share with you the will he has for you in your life. And so I just pray for all of us, more of God and Jesus Christ and less of ourselves this year.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, as you were talking, I just put a note here. I said, here's a good message I can work on. The will of God, a message that I can work on. The will of God. The will of God. As you said about each year, the only commitment I make is to God, I want to do better. That's all I am. I want to do better. I want to do better. That's my commission every year that I'm still on this earth. Lord, I want to do better than what I've done. I think
yeah.
That moves us. One of the things that I say, we got a person online that got a word we want to say. Hello, are you there?
Hello. Hello, Dr. Hunter. It's me.
Oh, that's you. That's you. That's you, the next speaker.
That's,
we're sitting here talking about the Hebrews, what God has done. And I tell you, young man has preached a good word.
Oh, glory to God.
He put a good word in. Amen.
That's wonderful.
He put it from Hebrews chapter 1 and John 17 chapter down through it. I mean, he baked it, he shaked it, he raked it, he put it over. Pulled it out
of
his glory.
Well, glory to God.
Glory to God.
You keep up the great work, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, it's about his time. Jason, you got any final words you'd like to say?
No, I just want to thank you. Again, thank everyone who's listening. And God bless you, Dr. Hunter. And just glory be to God. And just we, as a young man in the faith, you know, one thing that I appreciate the most is to see our elders ahead of us keep going and setting an example for us. So we watching and we taking notes, and I just pray for y'all's strength and that you guys just keep going.
Amen. Well, you tell the wife and the children the same for me and the church that part of, all right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. God bless you all.
As we always say, we love you. We love you.
Love
we
you
love
too.
You. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Amen?
Yes, sir. Amen.
All right. Okay. God bless you. Well, hello there, Dr.
Amen.
God bless you. All right. We got Brother Dr. Newsom, Apostle Newsom. The time belongs to you. Go ahead and use it.
Well, glory to God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. It's good to hear your voice, Dr. Hunter.
Likewise.
Good to hear your voice. Well, I'll be coming to tonight
to
out of Hebrews, out of Hebrews chapter 6. Chapter
whoa,
6. Hebrews chapter 6. And the message God has given me to give to those who are listening tonight is, I swear I'm going to bless you. I swear I'm going to bless you. You're going to see in the Word of God, in the book of Hebrews, that God, he went from I promise to I swear. That's a whole different level. He went to I promise I'm going to bless you to I swear I'm going to bless you. And this is in Hebrews chapter 6. And I tell you, you know what, God is so wonderful. He's so wonderful, Dr. Hunter. You know what, he comes after us. I don't care who you are, sinner, unbeliever, believer, he's coming after you. And that's why I'm so grateful to Yahweh. I'm so grateful to him. He's such a wonderful, wonderful father. You know, there's a scripture that says, if you want a friend, then you have to show yourself what? Friendly. Well, God lives by that word himself. He shows himself friendly to everyone. He showed himself friendly to us first. Glory to God.
Yeah,
he showed himself friendly to us first, and he still does the same thing today. I tell you, God is a good God. He's a good God. Now, I'll be reading from Hebrews chapter 6, beginning with verses 13, and I'll read down to verse 15. Now, I told you that God says, I swear I'm going to bless you. So all those who are listening all around the world, God just wanted me to deliver this word to you, and he said, I swear I'm going to bless you. I swear I'm going to bless you. For when God, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for the confirmation is to them an end of all strife. So God says, I swear I'm going to bless you. Now that word, first of all, he promised. He promised. God has made us promises. Look what he says in verse 13. When God made promise to Abraham. Now that word promise in the Hebrew, it means divine, a divine assurance of God. You can be assured that when God promises you something, he's going to do it. But he didn't stop at I promise you. He went on and said, took it to the level, I swear I'm going to do it. I swear I'm going to bless you. Look at verse 14. He says, saying, surely a blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Now, go back up here. Go back up to verse 13. It says, for when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. You see, he said, I swear I'm going to do it. I swear I'm going to bless you. And that Hebrew word, swear, to swear, is Shabbat. Shabbat. That's the Hebrew word for swear. To swear is Shabbat. And it means to make an oath. It means to make an oath. It means to strongly uphold a promise. So God is going to strongly uphold whatever he's sworn that he's going to do for us. And God has sworn some things not only to Abraham, but God has sworn some things to us. We are the Amen. Every born-again believer of God, every born-again believer. We're in covenant with the same God of Abraham. The same things that God promised Abraham, those same promises are to us. Those same things that God swore that he was going to do for Abraham, good God Almighty, he swears that he's going to do for us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 says that if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. In other words, the same thing that God promised to Abraham, those same promises God swears to bring them to pass in our life. Isn't that wonderful news?
Amen.
I tell you, we have some benefits, Dr. Hunter, and that's what's so wonderful. We don't have to be all uptight and feel like, oh, I'm a worm, I'm a dog, and I'm not worth anything, and I don't have anything. And we should never say, as a child of God, we should never say that we're broke. We're not broke. Now, you can go around and say that if you want to. Now, you're going to have to eat it. You're going to have to eat it. You're going to have it. I never go around saying that I'm broken. You know what? I'm a worm. I'm a dog. No. We've got to line our words up with what God says about us. We are the covenant children of God. It's time for us to change our mind. It's time for us to change the way we talk. It's time for us to really get an understanding of the word of God, what God is really saying about us. God says, I swear I'm going to bless you. All we have to do is just be a child of God. Be a child of God and believe God. And believe God. He'll bring it to pass. And trust in him. Trust in him to carry out of what he said. Now, I tell you, Abraham didn't do everything right. None of these great people in the Word, in the Bible, did everything right. But they were in covenant with God. And they knew that they were in covenant with God. And their necks were stuck out like a goose. They expected to get everything that God promised them. You see, because God, he can't lie. He can't lie. If he said it, he surely will do it. Now, the scripture says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, the scripture says that if we belong to Christ, Jesus, Yeshua, if we belong to him, then are we Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. So if you're born again, you are an heir. You are an heir. The same things that God has promised Abraham, those same things are promised to you. Isn't that wonderful news, Dr. Hunter?
That's good news.
The same thing. Now, I guess those who are listening, you'll get a little bit more excited when you find out, well, actually, what did God promise Abraham? If we can find in the Word what God promised Abraham, then we can find out what God promised us. If we can find out in the Word what God swore, he made an oath. He made a strong oath, and he said, I'm making a strong oath. I swear I'm going to uphold it. If we can find out. What's that, Dr. Hunter?
No, I said, go ahead, you're doing good.
Yes, he made an oath. And he strongly upheld it also. What he promised Abraham, he did for Abraham. What he promised Abram, he did for Abram. Now let's find out what actually did he promise Abraham. Let's find out what he promised. Let's go over to Genesis chapter 17. Let's find out what he promised Abraham. If we can find out what he promised Abraham, then we can find out what's been promised to us. If we can find out what God swore that he would do for Abraham, then we can find out what God has sworn to do for us. Let's look at Genesis chapter 17. Chapter 17. And let's read verses 1 through 8. And when Abram, which means exalted father, Abram, when he was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram, Abram meaning exalted father, and said to him, I am the Almighty God. I am Yahweh. That's God's name, chosen covenant people, the name of Yahweh. Yud Hey Vav Hey, or Yod, some scholars pronounce it Yod Hey Vav Hey. Yahweh, that's God's name for his covenant children. That's what separates him from every other false god. Yahweh, he's the only true living God. He says, I am the Amen. Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect.
Be
and
thou
I will
perfect.
Take my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. So here God is cutting a covenant with Abram. He's making a covenant with Abram. A covenant is a divine agreement. It's not meant to be broken between two people. And so Yahweh, the only true living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he's cutting a covenant between Abram and himself. And look what he says. He says, and I will make my covenant between me and thee. Excuse me. He said, I'll make my covenant between me and thee. This is Yahweh now. He's talking to Abram. He says, I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, that word multiply in the Hebrew language, it means to increase. Good God Almighty. Yahweh and Abram, I'm cutting a covenant with you. And this is one of the first things that he began to talk about. He begins to talk about multiplication. He's saying, Abram, I'm going to multiply thee. And that word, the multiply in the Hebrew language, it means that's God, which is God's language. It means to increase. God is talking about abundance. God is talking about loading him down, making him wealthy. Yahweh said, Abram, in this covenant, I'm going to multiply thee. So since we are Abraham's seed, all those who belong to Christ, and we're in covenant with God, with Yahweh, one of the things that God swears that he's going to do for us automatically, just because we're his, automatically, just because we're in covenant with him, automatically, all we got to do is be in faith. That's it. All we got to do is be in faith. No more circumcision of the skin, of the foreskin. No, we don't have to do any of that. All we have to do is be in faith. Walk by faith and not by sight. Believe God's word. Trust his word. Act on his word. Speak his word. That's all we have to do. Take Yahweh at his word. So Yahweh promised Abram. He said, Abram, I'm making a covenant between me and you, and I'm coveting that I'm going to multiply thee, not just a little bit, but I'm going to multiply thee exceedingly. He said, Abram, I'm going to increase you. I'm going to increase your holdings. I'm going to increase your holdings. I'm going to increase everything about you, increase you financially. I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you wealthy. That's part of the covenant between Yahweh and Abram. That same covenant, we're in the same covenant, and it's an eternal covenant. You're going to see it as I read on. It's an eternal covenant. It wasn't only for Abram's generation, but it's in our generation right today. Matter of fact, our covenant, Yahweh has even beefed it up. He's made the covenant even more better for us. I'm telling you, he's made it even more better. We have a better covenant now, better promises now. And God swears that he's going to do it. He swears it. He swears. He makes an oath. He couldn't swear by anyone else, so he swore by himself. In other words, what he's saying, Dr. Hunter, what he's saying, if I don't do it, I will not remain God.
That's right.
And you know that's right. Impossible. That's what he said. That's why he said, I swear that if I don't do it, I will not remain God. That's what he's saying.
That's what he's saying.
He couldn't swear. What's that, Dr. Hunter?
I'm listening. I'm being blessed.
He couldn't swear by anyone else's name, so whose name did he swear by? himself. And so he said, I will not remain as God if I don't do this. That's why he said, surely he couldn't swear by no greater name than himself. He couldn't swear by no greater name. I will no longer exist as being God if I don't do what I say I'm going to do. And you know that's not going to happen. God is not a man that he should lie. So he says, Abram, I'm cutting a covenant with you, and I swear I'm going to multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. Verse 3, God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, which means exalted father in the Hebrew, but thy name shall be Abraham. Abraham, which means father of many nations, have I made thee. Look at him. God says it's a done deal. It's already done. He said, I have made thee, not going to make thee. I have made thee a father of many nations. Look at verse 6. Now he's making a covenant now with Abraham and has changed his name. And he says, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Good God Almighty. God is saying, I'll make you a mighty nation. Many nations are going to come out of you. He says, kings, royalty will come from you. Good God Almighty. People of prominence, children of the prominent children are going to come out of you. He says in verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation. That's us. God says it's going to be for all generations. That's what he's saying right here. He says, Abraham, this covenant is between me and thee and all your seed in their generations. Galatians, that takes us back to Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. If we belong to Christ, good God Almighty, then are we Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. In other words, God swears that the same thing he swore to do for Abraham, and he did every bit of it, God swears he's going to do it for every born-again believer, all those who are in Christ, Yeshua. He's going to do the same thing, and God said, I swear I'm going to do it in your generation for an everlasting covenant. So the covenant is still going on, and like I said, shared with you earlier, God has even beefed up the covenant. Man, I tell you that our covenant is based on better promises. Isn't that right, Dr. Hunter? On better promise. So God has even beefed up the covenant to be a God unto thee. God says, I promise you, I swear to you that I'm going to be your God. I'm going to reveal myself to you when you need me. God Almighty. I'm going to reveal myself to you when you need me. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to be in your corner. Matter of fact, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Good God Almighty. I tell you, God, Yahweh is good. He's good. He's good. He's good. He's good. Yahweh is good. He's the only true living God. He swears, child of God. I just want to encourage everyone who's listening. I tell you, you don't have to try to push God. You don't have to try to swindle God into blessing you. You don't have to beg him into blessing you. He's already sworn that he's going to bless the seed of Abraham. He's already sworn that he's going to bless you. He's going to bless you. And so we have to walk in great expectation. For surely there is a future, and your expectations shall not be cut off. We got to walk in great expectations. We're perfect in the eyes of God. Our sins are forgiven. And matter of fact, one scripture says that he forgetteth all our iniquities. Good God Almighty. The blood of Jesus makes us white as snow. The blood of Yeshua makes us white as snow. When God looks at us, he sees us white as snow. We're the righteousness of God. We're the righteousness of Yahweh in Christ Jesus. And he swears to every one of his children, I'm going to bless you. And I swear I'm going to do that. Isn't that wonderful news? That is some wonderful news. He says, I swear, I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it for you. So he wants us to be in great expectation of what he said. See, the deal is why a lot of people are not experiencing the goodness of God is because they're rejecting it. They're rejecting it. They're not accepting it. They refuse to believe. They refuse to walk in faith and just receive. Jesus one day was walking through a village, Dr. Hyman. He was traveling through a village, and the scripture says that he healed a few folk, but the scripture goes on to say that he wanted to heal them all. But he marveled at their unbelief. He wanted to heal them all. That's right. He wanted to help them all, Dr. Hunter, every one of them. He wanted to heal everybody in the village. But what happened? He said he couldn't do it because of their unbelief. And then if you read on, Jesus traveled throughout the rest of the villages teaching them. Why? Because, see, teaching is the cure for unbelief. He wanted, the next time he come through the town, he wanted to make sure that the people had a great opportunity to what? To believe. So they could receive. You see, God wants to heal. The very power and presence of God to heal them all was there. But only a few people believed. All we have to do is believe that God, he swears he's going to bless us. Believe what he said. We don't cross every T and dot every I. But therefore, there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Look, your sins are washed away. Your sins are forgiven, and not only are they forgiven, Dr. Hunter, you can check it in the Word. Everyone can check it in the Word. He forgets all our iniquities. All of them. He forgets them. So that's why we can go boldly to the throne of God. We can go boldly because we're clean. We're clean. He has nothing against us. Glory to God. Isn't that wonderful, Dr. Anna?
That's wonderful. Oh, it's wonderful. That is wonderful.
Oh, glory to God.
Amen,
Dr. And I tell you, this is for our generation.
It is.
Yeah, this is not just for thousands of years ago. This is for our generation. He says right here, it's an everlasting covenant between to be a God unto thee, talking to Abraham, and thy seed after thee. And we are Abraham's seed. In other words, Yahweh is saying the same thing that I said to Abraham. The same promises that I swore that I would do for Abraham, I swear that I'm going to do for you in your generation. Good God Almighty. I tell you, you're going to wake up tomorrow a different person. I tell you, you're going to have some glide in your stride. You're going to be confident when you get up tomorrow. I tell you, after this message, I tell you right now, you confidence, all of this, rise up in all those who are listening right now. Right now.
Yes, Lord.
You are the righteousness of Yahweh in Yeshua. You are the righteousness of God.
You're the righteousness.
That's why Paul, one time they were talking about Paul. They were trying to put something against Paul, and Paul, he boldly said, I've wronged no man.
Don't charge me with that. Don't put that on my shoulder.
Oh, glory to God. Dr. Honey, Paul said, I love
Praise
Paul. Paul said, I've wronged no man. You see, he didn't walk around with a sin consciousness. He said, I've wronged no man. He knew who he was in Yeshua. He knew who he was because of the blood of Yeshua. He knew who he was. He knew that he was the righteousness of Yahweh.
Yes.
Glory to God.
He knew it.
In Yeshua.
He knew it.
I tell you, child of God, those who are listening, God swears that he's going to bless you. He swears he's going to bless you. He swears he's going to multiply you and increase your holdings. He swears he's going to give you land. He swears that he's going to be your God. He swears that royalty is going to come out of your loins. He swears that he's going to make you a mighty nation. He swears that nations will come out of you. He swears. I remember Abraham, he told Abraham, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Well, Abraham and Sarah didn't have their child until he was 100 years old and she was 90 years old. I tell you, he was 75 when he got the promise. I tell you now, see, God, this is an example that God does not break his promises now. He don't break his promises. He promised Abraham, he said, Abraham, I'm going to make you, he said, you are a father of many nations right now. I've made you the father of many nations. So his name went from Abram, exalted father, to Abraham. So everywhere he went, someone would ask Abraham his name. He said, my name is Abraham, which meant father of many nations. But he hadn't even had Isaac yet. But yet he was speaking it. I'm Abraham, father of many nations. He didn't have Isaac. Him and Sarah didn't have Isaac until 25 years later. The whole time, Abraham, the scripture says, Abraham, he said, he considered not the weakness, the deadness of his, Sarah's womb. He considered not the deadness of his body. He didn't consider it. He didn't consider all that. Sure, it may be that I'm old. Sure, it might be, but God changes the fact.
Glory to God.
I tell you.
Amen. Well, you know what, Doctor? Amen. Amen.
Go. Yes. Doctor Underwood, what's that now?
No, I said you just put a powerful message out there. My God.
Glory to God.
Amen. Because you were passing from the past generation to the 2014 generation.
Absolutely.
The Abraham covenant is
still in existence.
It's still in existence
right now in our generation.
I'm holding my seat. I'm pressing down on my seat. Keep him jumping up shouting.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
I mean, here, man, it's what you said. The man had to consider his wife's womb. Not dead. The man had to do that. Not even his own body.
He didn't let that sway him, Dr. Hunter.
No.
He didn't let that change his mind about what God said he was going to do.
My God.
He didn't do it. And that's the way we have to be, isn't it, right, Dr. Hunter?
That's what we have to be. We must be there. I always say, don't do it in the wrong street. If you don't live on Jehovah's Street, you live on the wrong street.
Okay? Listen to what Abraham said. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what Yahweh had promised, he was able to perform. Glory to God.
That's a God. Woo! Man, that's an awesome God. That God we're talking about, he's still awesome. He is still awesome.
He's still awesome. He's still awesome.
Amen.
He's still awesome.
Well, you know what, my brother? I want to thank God for you being on tonight with us. And right now, I'm going to turn it over because I've been doing for this time. For the next 2 hours, I'm going to put music on from a young man we all know about. And he's going to tell us about the healing Bible, what God has done for him. Amen.
Amen.
I love you. God bless you. Remember, I love you. I love you. I love you. There's nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
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 God bless you.
God bless you.
I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, be the shadow of turning. Romans 8, 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3, 6, for I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41, 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7, 15, and the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15, 26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none, or permit none, of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30, 17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33, 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter, the 3rd verse, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, I will have respect unto you, make you fruitful and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles 30:20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings 20:5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants, but walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145:8-9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known of all earth, thy saving health among all nations. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103:3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Psalm 41:3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. On the margin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians 1:12-14, and then chapter 2:10-15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, are able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, and having all principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in him. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5, 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 12th verse, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in the good old days, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5, 26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90:10. The days of our years are 70, if by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 22. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great thing Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tomb, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know him, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then Mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then Mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. He said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of the Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephrathah, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published him, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He beggeth both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed forth. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, I'm a child. And oft time it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when it opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know that you thou art the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits and to come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was with him. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Then in Luke the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for they went virtue out of him and healed them all. Then in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 7. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men are to work. In them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him alive, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, what man is which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk. And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come up unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he sat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the first verse. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power, these unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So that after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love, ye keep my commandments. Acts, the 6th chapter, and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra in Iconium in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise, with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, and in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things or beings in earth, and things or beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us when we believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, mark the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice, in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you shall ask, in my name, that will I do, that the Father may glorify the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them at the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondered. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But he denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto him, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name. Now notice that. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hole until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together to them. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, by what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you holy. This is the stone which was set in all of builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is thy salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they mocked, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to this man? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own company, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord, and said, and now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 11, verses 22-26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any. That your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verses 19-21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed it, good profess it before many witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, the children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all sick. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or the margin read, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession, or again the margin reads, the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful with promise. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon chapter 1, verse 6. That the communication of thy mouth may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Joel chapter 3, verse 10, let the weak say, I am strong. I want to read Deuteronomy chapter 28, reading the entire chapter, and then Galatians chapter 3, also reading the entire chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. They shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee over and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thy hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he hath consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, that they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be fire. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. It shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the box of Egypt, with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. Thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemy, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long. There shall be no night or no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore body that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, unto a nation, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out of the field, shalt gather but little in, for the locusts of the sheep. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor eat the grape, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed. Which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee at all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest, throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee at all thy gates, throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God has given thee, in the siege, and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee. So that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his mother, towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children, which he shall eat. So that he shall not give to any of them of the flesh of his children, whom he shall eat, because he hath nothing left him in the siege, and in the straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in all thy gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the seeds and straitness, wherewith thine enemies shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from one end of the earth even to the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. The Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and fading of eyes, and sorrow of mind. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. Thou shalt fear day and night. Thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake it. Thou shalt see it no more again, and ye shall be sold unto your enemies, for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. Now then, I want to read from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse and reading the whole chapter. Oh, foolish Galatians, who is the witch that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeth that God would justify the heathen through faith, preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's coming, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, serving the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to notice that according to these scriptures, and specifically Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring or permit to be brought upon thee till thou be destroyed. Now, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, there are a number of diseases that are listed here. But then he also adds every sickness. So therefore you can say, my sickness, whatever it is, cancer, tuberculosis, anemic, mental distress, whatever your sickness is, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, my sickness is a curse of the law. Now notice Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here's what I want you to confess. I want you to say it over and over and over again to yourself. Say it out loud if you're by yourself. Say it quietly to yourself if someone else is with you. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, now mainly sickness, cancer, tuberculosis, kidney trouble, liver trouble, whatever it is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law, therefore I confess, I am redeemed from sickness. That's specifying sickness. In other words, I'll give you an illustration, we'll just call it cancer. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, cancer, is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, he's redeemed me from the curse of sickness. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from cancer. All right, we'll just say your trouble is a stomach ulcer. All right, say this then. My sickness, or ulcer, stomach ulcer, is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28:61. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from ulcers of the stomach. Now, say, for instance, your condition is a blood disease. You see, according to Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, my blood disease is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from blood disease. I just gave that to you as an illustration. Whatever your sickness is, call it a curse of the law. Confess it's a curse of the law. Then confess Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from sickness. Specify your sickness. Now, I want you to do that. I want you to listen to these two chapters, Galatians 3, Deuteronomy 28, over and over again. And then at every awakened moment, all night long, all day long, continue to make the confession. Therefore, I am redeemed from and specify your sickness.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenepagan Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org or write to Kenepagan Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And if Canada writes, Kenepagan Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.
Thank you.